Blog Talk Radio. What's your sign? Do you know? Let me guess. You're Scorpio. What's your rising? Where's your moon? Scorpios are pretty cool. See, I'm a sage, so they say. I'm a butterfly, I like to play. I'm always aiming into the sky. I point my arrows extremely high. 'Cause everyone has a sign, whether supernatural or divine. Believe or not, if you're so inclined, 'cause in this great big universe, we're the stars on Earth.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Craig Martin, and welcome to Inside Connection Radio on Blog Talk Radio, live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. I'm in Los Angeles, and it is beautiful tonight. We have a bunch of things to talk about tonight. Tonight's show is actually going to be about Neptune, the planetary energy Neptune, which might be complex and it might not be. That's the very nature of Neptune, so we're going to find out how deep we're all going to go tonight. But I did want to start the show by talking about the new moon in Aries, and we're kind of in that right now. It's a very powerful moon. I definitely believe that if we have something that we want to express in the world, now is a very good time to do it, because there's an energy behind it, an individual energy that gives us a certain power to be able to express ourselves as individuals. That's the energy of Aries. And for those of you who have been watching that stunning Jupiter-Venus conjunction that's been going on for about the last month, now Venus is quite a bit, say, 2 inches higher than Jupiter. You see it in the western horizon after the sun is going down, the two bright stars. The fainter one is Jupiter. That's bright enough, but it's fainter compared to Venus, which is now higher in the sky above Jupiter. Venus has moved into Aries. They were in Taurus together for a while, but Venus has moved into Gemini. But the power of the moon, as it's going to begin to separate from the sun, is that over the course of the next couple of nights, we're going to actually see the moon move through that conjunction. And it's going to be not only quite beautiful to see, but it's going to be bringing a very deep energy of our personal values, one of which is always about money. People, you know, have a tendency to really like money. It gets things done. And so if there's any project or anything out there, or you're going to be asking for a raise, or you're going to be not quite the energy to be playing the lottery, although I would say that could be something that you could do, but it's more about the communication that can bring about financial benefit, not only finances. Obviously, there are other things that we value. If you wanted to have a conversation, so to speak, let's say with a friend to reinforce a friendship, friendship is another thing that we value. This would also be a good time to do that, because your own individual power to communicate, Aries, is very strong, and as it moves through and into Taurus and into that Jupiter-Venus conjunction, it's going to add your communicative ability to your own personal values and ethics. So that just happens to be going on tonight, new moon in Aries, and I think it was a good thing to just talk about that. So Neptune. Neptune's a really big energy. Ultimately, when I have sat to ponder it, because it's very much a meditative energy, Neptune is very internal. You would go in on the inside to find Neptune. It represents really the connection to a higher voice, to the higher voice. It's that's one reason why it's so complex, because in order to be able to really find yourself connected to that higher voice, you have to get out of your own way. And what we mean by getting out of your own way is our personal ego, our own personal alignment. We have our own personal ego drives and our own personal attachments to specific outcomes. And there is a divine energy. There is a higher energy. There is the higher voice, we could call it, something that's working through us, that's working with us. Neptune in the tarot is aligned with the Hanged Man. So that when we have this energy of surrender, that's the energy of the Hanged Man, we can see why it's connected to Neptune, because Neptune is an energy that says surrender to this higher voice. Otherwise, stagnation occurs because your drives, your ego drives, are become based principally on your own self-aggrandizement or self-fulfillment or something a little bit more selfish. I think somebody in the chat room writes to me, you know, the ego is very healthy. Yes, it is. The ego is very healthy. It preserves us. It protects us. The ego has a very strong function, but remember, the ego itself is also an illusion because it creates your own personal identity as separate from others and separate from the higher voice. So we're going to use this higher voice message because it's what came through when I was sitting and thinking about the show, connection to the higher voice as Neptune. But you can think of it as anything that you like. You can think of it as God. You can think of it as your own personal higher power. The ego is principally one of the illusions that makes you feel like you're an individual and you have to achieve certain things in order to attain your own self-importance, in order to make sure that you've left something of yourself behind, all these different things that the ego feels very concerned with accomplishing. And that part of the ego is very much of an illusion because certainly, obviously, our individual lives are limited, and whether you create your own sense of self-importance or something in a given lifetime is not what it's really all about. So I think one of the things that Neptune energy, like I said, it was going to be complicated or not complicated or both, is that in that idea of the ego, in that idea of we have our own personal drive to accomplish something, we can align that drive with the higher voice. That's when we've actually achieved a true Neptunian experience, the true positive path of the Neptune experience is to be able to say, I did, I got out of the way, and I allowed the higher voice to come through so that I could accomplish what it is that I want to accomplish. Because, see, the world is the physical plane, but our connection to something other than the physical plane has to do with the function of Neptune. Neptune makes it capable for us to pierce through the veil and be able to see beyond through a variety of things. That's why it rules selflessness. That's why it rules transcendence. We're able to transcend the ego because, and there's that little play on words, transcend, because we're not in a trance anymore. The trance of the physical world and the fact that there's the other illusions, which are space and time, that the physical world is all there is and that we're encapsulated by space and time. Yes, Neptune rules over the intangible and the immaterial, but the intangible and the immaterial is connected to a real energetic plane, that's a part of reality, even though it's not necessarily a part of the physical world, it certainly is real. So this whole idea that Neptune creates the interface between our physical existence as, you know, human beings in the body, which is clearly a physical experience, and our connection to a higher energy, a higher vibrational frequency that does not speak in a specific language, does not speak in English or French or Spanish, which is why Neptune rules the world of symbols and dreams and intuition and psychic phenomenon and perception and imagination, because those things represent a connection to that plane in the language that that plane speaks in. When we think of dreams, dreams are a clear Neptunian experience because it's in the dream state that we're actually able to make a very clear contact with the superconscious, what's called the superconscious, the higher voice. So we have a conscious mind. The conscious mind is on most of the day, right? And then magically, we have to shut that conscious mind down. We have to shut that conscious mind down so that we can go in and experience the unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind is the receiving platform for the superconscious, the higher voice. So psychic phenomenon, premonitory dreams, and things like that are such, is the unconscious mind's capacity to experience that higher energy. But it doesn't experience it in any specific language. It experiences it in symbols, which is why dreams are so powerful, because the symbols are universal and they speak to us about specific feelings, events, occurrences, emotions, and things that are going on in the unconscious, that if we're in tune with that, we have an opportunity for the conscious mind, that part of us that's most affiliated actually with the ego, to be able to see through itself and look into the unconscious for just a moment. So if we are individuals, you know, who are capable of remembering our dreams, it's, I think, a very powerful place to be in, because you get an opportunity to actually really see your unconscious mind communicating with you. I mean, it's communicating with itself, it's communicating with the God energy, with the higher voice, it's in tandem with that, and it's communicating with the collective, because we all have an interface with the higher energy through the unconscious. So we're not only connected to the higher voice directly, we're connected to every other person who's also connected to it. So the Neptunian experience can be very confusing. And so that's the downside of it, is that the Neptune experience can be shadowy. It can represent drugs and alcohol because of a desire to escape from the physical world, and a non-connection with with the spiritual world, that higher energy. And so in order to be able to go in there or escape from the physical world, Neptune can rule drugs and alcohol. But if the ego is attached to specific, let's say, specific goals or outcomes that are purely of our own self-importance, then Neptune also rules disappointment, illusion, disillusionment, betrayal, all kinds of experiences where what it is that we perceive about the world is shattered by Neptune. But I interrupt myself for a moment just because I think I didn't even say that. We have a call-in show, and I am doing readings, and the call-in number is 213-943-3395. So please feel free to give me a call if you would like for me to look at your astrological chart. You can also find me on Twitter as Astro Healer, on Facebook as Dr. Craig. And if you're interested in finding about me and my practice as an astrologer in L.A., you can look on the internet at lahealer.com, lahealer.com. And find more about my work and my vision for how astrology can actually help you get in touch with who you are. The very important thing, actually, about that new moon in Aries is that know yourself is that very first principle of spirituality. We're all individually here to know who we are as expressions of, yes, the healthy part of our ego that's connected to the higher voice, because the higher voice is if we're in tune with, when we align our ego. There's a great Neptunian affirmation, which is, I will to will thy will. I can come to a place in my life where I have decided to align my will with the higher will for me, as opposed to not, as opposed to, say, an independent will that is basically, you know, not too interested in what the higher voice might have in store for you, but is in much more interested in some illusory and often painful experience that, you know, doesn't always turn out the way we want it to, because that's the idea. Experiences that present us with an opportunity to rise above, right? They're experiences that present us with an opportunity to rise above. They're not always nice. They don't always feel good, those experiences. Sometimes those experiences can be loss, disillusionment, disappointment, ill health. All these different things are actually ruled by Neptune in the 12th house and Pisces. I find it very interesting that, you know, what's behind the individual ego, what's actually behind it, is your connection to the higher voice. And Neptune brings experiences that help us clear that path. It's why it also rules ideals. We also are capable of achieving and bringing into our life situations that represent ideals, because Neptune is also capable of bringing that. So when we're really wanting to ride a good Neptune transit, or we really feel like we're very affiliated with Neptune energy, people who have Pisces rising or strong Pisces in their chart, or a strong placement of Neptune in their chart, they often feel like they've got a strong understanding that there's more to this experience than just the physical world. That's Neptune. Area code 212. Good evening. You're on the Inside Connection.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Hi.
Thank you for the show. I called in about a month ago.
Okay.
And something, I asked about work, and you said that someone was going to hire me, like this woman would be interested in me, and that actually did happen.
Okay.
And, however, something got stagnated along the way, and 1 month later, and it's still, like, up in the air about my hiring situation.
Okay.
So even though the woman that interviewed me liked me a lot, and she said I was hired on the spot, they did a medical, but then the recruiting company and then the human resources department.
Yeah. You know, I will just say that I've certainly been hearing a bit of this energy of blockage, and what I want to say is that kind of across the board, it has to do with Mars being retrograde.
Yeah,
so,
I was thinking it was Mars retrograde, but I was also wondering if you could see from my chart if the job is going to go through or anything.
Sure, why don't I take a look? Yeah. Tell me your first name again.
Anna, A-N-N-A.
Last initial?
K.
K, I think I've got it. January 28th?
Yes.
Okay, Anna, let me just take a look at your chart again for you.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yeah, one of the things that's difficult in the process is that you do have Neptune squaring the moon.
Okay.
So it's one of the things that makes it a little bit more difficult for it to get grounded, because, again, the Neptune in Neptunian energy, the waters can be very muddied. However, you know, I like the fact that Jupiter is going into your first house and Jupiter is going into your second house. It's certainly going to be bringing you money, and I know at this situation for you, you're probably feeling a little oppressed by not having the job. But, yeah, I see it actually going through. I would, you know, I don't want to tell you that it might take another couple of weeks until Mars direct, but definitely for you, it's a part of it, because Mars has been retrograde in your sixth house, which is the house of work and routine. So we might not have talked about that the last time I spoke to you on the show, but I would say, you know, hang in there, follow up with her without pestering her, and allow the kind of cloud over it to lift. That's pretty much the best thing I can say about it right now.
Yeah, and is it actually normal that I wasn't really working for 2 years? Like, was that whole situation normal? Like, what was going on? Like, I don't know if it was the right question to ask, but...
I mean, why has that been happening for you? You have Saturn in the sixth house.
Horrible.
It could be a very oppressive experience for work-related. And I feel like there might have been opportunities for you to kind of ride that energy. But again, also you have Pluto in the sixth house. So when you had a natural Pluto square, you know, Pluto squaring your natal Pluto, which was about 2 years ago, it basically like destroyed a relationship that you had at work. And you've been really dealing with the aftermath of that.
Oh, my God.
You have to tune in for next week's show, too, because we're going to be talking about Pluto and that energy. It's very important. It has a very important, because from the destruction of that relationship is how you should be building the new relationship. That's the whole thing, is that the relationship with the new employer needs to be built on the ashes of the old employer.
Yep. Well, I agree. And
it was nice to talk to you again. I have a couple of people waiting on the switchboard. So,
I will keep you definitely posted on what is going on.
Awesome.
And, you know, who knows in the future for personal readings. Thank
you. Well, I'm
You're
here.
So
that's
accurate,
fine. Like I said, you can look me up on the internet. It's perfectly easy to find me, Dr. Craig Martin. In Los Angeles.
And you're in Los
thanks
Angeles.
So much
How
for calling
beautiful.
In again,
yes,
Anna.
Good luck with the other callers.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye.
So I definitely, you know, really, I appreciate everyone that calls in to talk to me, and I do like having a follow-up, and I also love to hear that something that I, you know, predicted actually worked, came true. I pride myself on my predictions, but I want to say one thing about predicting, and that is that prediction is based on energy. It's based on energy and energy patterns that you see, and it's not based on, you know, a specific thing that's formed already. The future is in that Neptune realm, and in tandem with all the other planets, there's a more diffuse form in an energetic plane that has an infinite possibility of taking shape. So we want to remember that when I'm looking at your individual chart, what I'm looking at is I'm looking at a specific energy, and that energy, for instance, when I said to Anna she's going to meet a woman, that's what the energy said to me, that there was a female energy possible for an employment opportunity possible. And, of course, that happened for her, which is fantastic. Like I said, I really like that. I love astrology. Dedicated my life to it, but you have to allow, as a person receiving a reading, for the infinite possibility that an individual energy in a reading can represent. So I want to take another caller. Area code 347. You're on the Inside Connection.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. How can I help you?
Okay. Well, my question is not necessarily the norm. I'm not looking for a reading or anything like that, but I'm curious as to your opinions on why or how you think astrology works.
How I think it works?
Yes,
okay.
In general.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a good question.
I mean, I've heard theories. I've read Alan O'Ken's work on, you know, he stated that he believes that it's the electromagnetic fields of the planets that thus influence our own electromagnetic fields, and that all human beings are made up of it. But what, you know, I've done my own empirical studies, and what I've found is that not all the planets have a magnetic field. So that theory is thus discounted. In my book, and I've created my own theories, the energetic reflection theory, but I'm curious, you know, I just want to look around and see what other astrologers feel. So
no,
what,
that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I think it's important. I feel like as far as personality goes, the one thing that is important for me is that I don't believe it's necessarily the planets that are influencing our personality. I think it's that the planets are in a particular alignment as a reflection of our personality. So that's one thing that I think is really important. Some people might say, like, oh, well, you know, the planet, it's like it caused that.
Exactly.
And I actually don't really believe that that's the case, because for me, you know, when I look at individuals and we talk about, like, due dates and birth times and this and that, I don't really believe you can have the wrong birth moment. I believe that whatever aligns for you to get you to be born at a specific moment is what is who you are as an individual coming through to have that particular moment in time best expressed. You know how the outside world is a reflection of the inside world? So
okay.
That's one level of it. But how does astrology work? You know, I do see that there is some kind of energy. I do believe it has to be energetically based. So whether it's magnetic fields or whether it's sort of the energetic resonance of a specific planet, you know, it reminds me of referring you to something like homeopathic
yes.
medicine. And in homeopathic medicine, the medicine actually becomes stronger the more diluted it is. So as you start to dilute the medicine and it becomes more and more and more of a spiritual essence, it actually becomes more potent in homeopathic medicine. And so I think that there are still, obviously, we're not done learning everything there is to know about the universe. I
exactly.
think that there are some intangible energies, like, say, the spiritual essence of plants and salts and things like that in homeopathic medicine, that have an energetic resonance. It obviously affects the body. I mean, I've seen homeopathic medicine work in action. So why couldn't it be then that rather than it being the electromagnetic field because a specific planet has poles or whatever, why can't it be just simply that that planet has its own particular resonance? It has its own resonance energy. Let's say the planet as a being, animate or inanimate, however you like to see a planet, has a aura. It has a resonance field, an energetic field that's outside of the physical, tangible part, which is a very good question for you to be asking me tonight, because the whole thing is about Neptune. So
yes,
Neptune's energy across the entire solar system, basically the entire universe and its construct, has to do with the fact that there is something other than the physical. And the electromagnetic energy is created by the physical. But the other, more intangible part is created by the soul. So, sort of Native American belief system, everything has that energy within it. It doesn't matter whether it's inanimate or not.
All right.
Now, whether
thank you
can call
so
it a soul or whatever, but I mean,
well,
you know,
you
that might be a little, for a lot
opinion.
Of people, that might be a little out there, but it's still an energy that all things have inside of them that give them form and animate them if they're, obviously, if they're organic and animatable. That's my answer.
All right. Well, thank you. I like
your
answer.
Yeah, it's auric and aura bodies and the energy that surrounds them. But it was
all
nice
right.
for you to
thank
call
you.
And ask that question. So you see, the star systems themselves, then, I see them actually as regions of space, not so much specifically aligned with the constellations themselves, but as just regions of space that may be emanating their own kind of energy that's coming from them. And when one of the planets moves in front of them, then that energy, say the energy of Aries, corresponds then with the electromagnetic field, the auric field of the sun, and you have you know, that expression of energy, the sun, in combination with the expression of energy Aries, and it influences based on the energy that it's sending towards the earth. In Western astrology, there's some connection to, say, like the seasons even. You know, you might say, well, we don't really know how that's really happening either. You know, why birds migrate, why plants come up when they do. We don't really have a full understanding of all of those things. And so some of that is also based on that more esoteric energy.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, nice to talk to you tonight. So once again, my name is Dr. Craig Martin, and you're listening to Inside Connection Radio on Blog Talk Radio. I'm live on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, and you can call in for live readings at 213-943-3395. I have a couple of people still in the switchboard, and I assure you I'll be getting to everybody tonight. You can find me on Twitter as Astro Healer and on Facebook as Dr. Craig. And if you want to find out more about me and my work independently and have a private session with me, I am working by phone, Skype, and in person. You can find out that information at lahealer.com. So let's take a little bit more of a look just generally at Neptune. I think one of the important things that really became very clear to me as I meditated, again, meditating on this, was that used properly, you know, experienced properly, Neptune energy transforms your perception of what's actually going on around you, what's actually going on in your life. So used properly, Neptune's capable of transforming your perception to a higher state of awareness. So mysticism is a part of Neptune, because psychic energy is part of Neptune and Pisces in general, dreams and dream interpretation and intuition. And all of those things have to do with a different perception, because what is mysticism? Mysticism and mystical energy is an ability to gain information from a source that seems other, you know, like that impossible, like the average person would not be able to gain information from that source because they're so grounded in the physical. So the energy doesn't seem really real or tangible or appropriate to them because they're not really seeing it outside of the physical box. And that's a big part of the Neptune experience. So kind of like the way that the Neptune energy, it says surrender to the higher energy, the higher voice that's in you. Know what it is that's being told for you to do, and then surrender to it, or you'll be in stagnation. So we were talking about how Neptune rules the Hanged Man, and the Hanged Man is the card where the guy is just hanging upside down from a tree, and you know, and he can't move. It rules a state called congealed, where just there's no movement possible. Interestingly, in the tarot, the card right after the Hanged Man is Death. And so Hanged Man is 12 and Death is 13. And Death is going to be next week's discussion because it's about Pluto. And once we realize what we need to let go of, that's the Hanged Man, then we have to take action and let go of it. Hanged Man says, what is it that you need to do in order to transcend your life, in order to transcend your ego and move on to a higher level of existence? Death, the death experience, the death card says, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to remove from the experience. And then 14, beyond that, is temperance, which is a connection to moderation and the ability to listen to the inner voice and know what the inner voice is telling you to do. So it's a really, I think, a very interesting part of the spiritual path, Neptune, because it's not the beginning, for sure. Neptune and Neptune energy is is not the beginning of a spiritual path for us all. That normally, when we're talking about like the Fool card, which is the beginning of the tarot, that's when we leap in without actually having to think about it. We're like, oh yeah, it's very impulsive, you know. But by the time we reach the Neptune stage, that's when we actually really have to think about that next leap. What is that next leap? So maybe when we meet a relationship, we're like, oh yeah, jump in, you know. That's the very beginning of spirituality. It has to do with trust, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely the most beautiful, pure, fundamentally mystical experiences that there is to get out of your own way and allow yourself to jump into something without having to question it too much. You know, as long as you feel certain that you're not going to be devastated by it, you know, go right ahead. You want to take a class, you want to go back to school, you want to get a job, you want to buy a car, you want to date someone, go right ahead. You know what I mean? Those are beautiful, perfect things to grab onto. The Neptune experience is more when you get asked to get married or when you feel like you're with somebody that you're not supposed to be with, and then you have to rise above and make the choice on your own. You have to hear that calling and you have to embrace it. Area code 310, you're on the Inside Connection.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you?
Very good. Who am I speaking with?
This is Jeanette.
Jeanette, how are you?
I'm good.
You're going to actually have to give me your birth information in order for me to be able to take a look at your chart. So how about that?
Okay, I have it.
And it is?
October
10.
Yep, October 12th, 1982.
Right, time?
5:27 p.m.
That is crazy because I was born at 05:27 a.m.
Oh, nice.
How about that?
That's cool.
I love that. Really, for real, 5:27 a.m. And okay. Birth town, please.
Royal Oak, Michigan.
Royal Oak?
Yep.
Got it. Michigan. Got it. Wow, you have Pisces rising. And so that's appropriate for tonight's show. And Neptune and Sagittarius at the midheaven. So, you know, as a ruler of your chart, one of your focuses definitely needs to be on your career. And not only on your career, but the way in which you express yourself outwardly in the world. So you have a very spiritual calling and a very spiritual path because you have three big planets in Sagittarius at the top of your chart, Uranus, Mars, and Neptune, all surrounding the midheaven, which is the career line, but it's also the line of public, the way that you're perceived in public and your public presence. And Neptune's on the 10th house side. Mars and Uranus are on the 9th house side. That has to do with the development of your, you know, your actual belief systems. You know, on the outside, it would not surprise me if at some point in your life you decided to be published. It also, I think, talks to me a little bit about possibly becoming involved in ministerial work somehow in there because you're very much here to be learning about this higher truth, this philosophy. I'm sure you're very metaphysical because with Neptune rising and Neptune in Sagittarius, it'd be hard, I think, for you to be very didactic and be limited in your belief system. You could consider yourself religious, but I think that your religious view would be broad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Neptune in the 10th house still has something to do with your career, so interestingly, it's something for you to, I guess, ponder, unless you're already involved in that for your career, that you're doing something spiritual or that you're doing something It has to be involved with someone spiritual. I don't really see you, you know, working a desk job.
Yeah.
That just doesn't seem like it would suit your ultimate path, because you want to be able to. It's part of your reputation, the 10th house. So for you to be able, I mean, yeah, maybe if you were a lawyer working for, you know, like human rights or something like that, that would totally suit your chart. You could definitely be involved in a, you know, business partnerships because of all this stuff in Libra, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But the very strong energy for you, I mean, okay, so it can go in so many different directions, right? You could be in ministry, you could be in yoga, you could be in art, you could be in athletics, you could be in travel, because all of those different things are expressions of Sagittarius. So that if you were like working as a guide to mystical places, sure, I could see that. That would actually really also suit you. As long as all along the way, you yourself were gaining the experience of the higher mind, the higher enlightenment. And if you were listening to the show at all tonight, we were talking about Neptune's connection to the higher voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a profound experience of standing aside from your ego and allowing that higher voice to come in. And you obviously have that in going on in your life all the time because you have Pisces rising. I suppose you want me to talk just a little bit about the fact that you're in the middle of a Saturn return.
Yes.
And let's see. So you're in the middle of a Saturn return because, you know, you're of your age. Saturn return happens at age 29, and Saturn's in Libra, and you've got an awful lot of Libra in your chart. So for years now, at least two solid years, relationship has been very serious, but relationship has been very heavy. And are you in a relationship?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And you know, for me, I would say that the experience for you of being in a relationship is very intense because you have five planets in Libra, in the house of Libra. And you didn't pick this, alignment to take relationships lightly. But at the same time, now that Saturn is in your seventh house and you have natal Saturn in the seventh house, it's become more serious than ever. Normally, I would say that this transit is either going to create a significant commitment and marriage, or you're going to find that you need to end the relationship and walk away because it doesn't serve you. Remember, the higher purpose of Saturn is that it functions for your growth and maturity. Saturn creates the limitations and structure because that's the way you become a more mature individual. So like when we raise a baby, we're constantly having to create structure for that baby. Everything from, you know, when not to talk loud in public to the fact that you need to cut and trim your nails, right? So all of those things are not necessarily like really necessarily like happy for the baby, for the little child. But what happens is that as we come to accept the fact that those are part of the limitations of the physical world or respect for other individuals, that we then accept that and we can make the choice that's aligned with that. That's actually what the Saturn return is most deeply about. It's most deeply about the transcendence from being a child to really being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would think that over the last 2 years you've met other people, even that you've had associations with that have been very good Libra relationships, either possibility of it being a woman or a sister, because you have Venus in the seventh house, and Venus is the ruler of your third, which rules siblings. Mercury as well, so the fourth house, maybe people that you've been living with, maybe unexpected people that have come to live with you. Saturn is the ruler of your 11th, so it could be friends. And then also Pluto is in your seventh house, so it could even be an employer, a boss, or a business partner. and that you've been learning a lot in various ways about how to create Libra relationships with lots of different people, not just the relationship that, you know, that you're in right now. So I'm not really going to ask you whether it's about that you're going to get married or that you're in a situation where you're needing to break up with that person, because the core meaning of it is that you're giving up the childhood behavior pattern in order to accept the structure, and that when you accept the structure, then you'll be able to remove the stagnation and move on. That's the whole experience of Neptune. And since it's your ruler, you're going to constantly be subjected to that over and over again in your life. What is your hanged man experience? And that card is really a guy hanging upside down from his foot. He's not hanging from his neck, if you don't know the card. He's hanging from his foot, and he's hanging upside down like Odin, who is the Norse god, the head of the gods, and he hung from a tree, and what popped out of the top of his head was the runes, those tiles with the symbols on them that the Norse people were able to do divination with, and all of the mystical path, and they call it the path of spiritual warrior. That came out of his head from hanging upside down. So the place where you're probably at right now, which feels stagnant, will yield. It certainly will yield when you come to accept the structure, which is the structure of maturity due to a Saturn return. It can be that you need to get married, right? That you're afraid of getting married, and so someone has proposed to you or something like that, and you're like, oh, I don't know whether I want to get married or not. But the structure is marriage. Okay, or it could be that you want to be married, but you haven't gotten the proposal, and you don't know whether you're going to, and so the structure is leaving that relationship so you can go and find the marriage that you're looking for. In either one of those paths, the Saturn return is more about aligning yourself with the maturity of the structure than it is about anything that has to do with the particulars behind what it is that you need to do.
Yeah.
Was that enough?
Yeah, wow. That was amazing. Thank you. That really helped. Definitely helped.
Good. Well, I have somebody else actually waiting in the switchboard, and I'm going to go right over and take their call, but it was really great for you to call tonight. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Stay tuned for the end of the show, and next week we're going to be doing Pluto, which is going to be about how to let go and transform into a new state. So if you're feeling in that place where you're having a Saturn return, it could be a good show for you too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Okay.
Hi, area code 901. You're on the Inside Connection. Hello? Oh, they just disappeared. Oh, they're back. Area code 901, you're on the Inside Connection. Hello? Okay. Well, area code 901, if you're here and, you know, you would like to call back, I did, or if you'd like to chime in, that's fine with me. So, Neptune. And what I want to do is talk about it and kind of wrap it up. I feel like the Neptune energy is very important. It's certainly one of the harder energies for us to grasp. It's one of the harder energies for us to align to, because we all have personal needs and desires. We all would like to say, oh, I want to marry that person, even when that person might not necessarily be good for us, right? Because that person is good looking, or that person is wealthy or whatever, or I want to become a doctor or a lawyer or this or that, you know, because our ego is going to be served by that. Again, remember, we're talking about that ego has a dualistic nature. It has a part of it that obviously serves us, it protects us, it keeps us, you know, from being completely spaced out and walking in front of cars. That's where your ego is, looking left and right when you cross the street, okay? So there is a function to the ego, but then there's a function to the ego that creates the illusion of self-importance in an individual lifetime and how we need to feed our own personal sense of self in order to be able to feel good. And we know that that's a bottomless pit. And Neptune certainly, proves that we often find that when we reach out into the world and we grasp at illusionary goals, goals that are not a real representation of our true nature, which, of course, the ego is a part of, but it's getting the ego to align. Remember, you have to have a conversation with your ego, and you have to say, hey, what's the right thing for me to be doing with my life, and will you join me? What's the right thing for me to be able to doing with my for me to be doing with my life, and will you join me? Will you be happy there? Will you be happy with me? Or are you going to continuously drag me back into situations that just stink and make me really unhappy? Because remember, in the end, if you get betrayed by somebody, it's a lousy relationship, or you wake up one day and you find out that you're in a career that doesn't suit you, you're the one that's going to be unhappy in the core. The ego that's dragging you down those paths so that it can feel better about itself, so it can feel more important, so that it can feel more like it's got a greater sense of itself, that it is better than others, or that it's better, that it has a higher belief about itself. All of that is an illusion, and none of it is going to serve the core nature, the basic voice that says, you know, what is it that I really want to do? What is it that is really going to make me happy? Who is it that I really want to be involved with a relationship? I think all of that is very important for us to ponder, because when we do connect with that voice, that's when we truly become imaginative. That's when we end up having a greater sense of intuition. That's when we find that we're having a mystical path. That's when we find that obstacles that were in our way constantly because we were trying to manifest something that actually wasn't really the right thing for us are completely removed. When you align yourself, remember that affirmation, I will to will thy will. I will to will thy will. In other words, what is it that that higher voice wants for you in your life? You know what it is. You know what it is in response to being with someone, not being with someone, having children, not having children, going into a certain career path, not going into a certain career path. All of the false values, all of the false goals that you could set up for yourself will all come down, will all be dissolved by Neptune in the end, because Neptune will not allow for the ego to have an experience of itself at that level, because it's not just about the physical plane. Area code 901, are you on the inside connection? See, that caller keeps popping up in the switchboard, but they're not online, so that's fine. I feel like my experience of Neptune hasn't always been easy. I feel like I've had Neptune transits where I certainly have had to take a little hit on the ego, you know, and find out, like, oops, that relationship wasn't really the right one. You know, or that project that someone dangled in front of me that I thought was going to be so awesome didn't turn out to be so awesome. And how disappointing that feels. Neptune can feel very disappointing because it often is showing us something that we've been trying to make happen that was never really going to be good for us. And that's, I think, one of the difficulties of it, because we want to hang on to the illusion. We want to hang on to the illusion, and that's why Neptune rules illusions, because it breaks them. So the converse experience of Neptune, beautifully, is that It rules ideals. So that when we actually do transcend the ego and we align with our, you know, higher calling, our higher purpose, that's when we're going to find that we actually bring about a person, a job, a life experience, a trip, an encounter, just a simple encounter, in order to be able to make ourselves more happy, more successful, and more aligned with our higher truth. Mary Lou, you're on the Inside Connection.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Good. I wanted to say hi.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm so glad you did. How are the kids?
They're finally asleep.
Oh, good. Well, I know that you're on. Are you on Central Time?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's probably already getting kind of late there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, whenever I see you pop up in the chat room, whenever I see you pop up on the switchboard, I have a little place over here in my heart for you.
Aww. I just friended you on Facebook. Well,
oh, great. I will definitely look for you there.
You have more friends than me.
More Facebook friends, Mary Lou.
No, you're more liked.
I'm going to close up the show, okay, hon? And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye. Neptune. Right? Grab onto your ideals and make them happen. Get out of your way and find out how to make your dreams come true. I'm Dr. Craig Martin, and this is the Inside Connection. I'm going to leave you with Gary Wright and Dreamweaver.
There still may be